can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I'm joined by Ariane.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we are talking about some favorite romantic movies. I wouldn't really say romantic comedies, but, you know, romance, with some bits of humor.
Yes.
And these are two movies that Ariane and I have enjoyed watching. I know for me, we are going to be talking about You've Got Mail, and I love this movie. I have seen it many times before. And we're also talking about Love and Basketball, and Ariane, I know that you love this movie
and have also seen it many times. I can play this whole movie. I can play Love and Basketball out for anybody. I love it.
That's how I should have seen the movie. I should have just gone to you to tell me everything that happens. Well, good. I'm glad now we have the podcast, so now I get to hear all of your thoughts on it.
Exactly.
So we're going to start with You've Got Mail. This movie for me is just like a comfort movie. Like, I don't know if I would say it's my favorite film ever, but it's one that I always enjoy watching and is just like enjoyable and comforting to watch, especially in like the fall winter season.
Yeah.
Because for some reason it just like, it just always makes me think of fall, like, because the movie opens in fall.
Yeah.
And they're talking about New York in the fall, which just seems so romantic to me. So I love watching it in this season that we're in as we approach Halloween and Christmas and all that. So this movie was filmed in 1998. It was directed by Nora Ephron, and she also directed Sleepless in Seattle, which also has Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
And then she also wrote When Harry Met Sally, another classic romantic movie.
Yeah.
And Nora also co-wrote this movie as well.
Oh, wow.
So she was really had her hands all over it, and I think it was great. She's well known as a movie writer.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it, and also well known as a director, and I think she did a great job. So this movie, for those of you who have not watched it, it's basically like a boutique bookstore owner, Kathleen Kelly, who's played by Meg Ryan. Her store is struggling a little bit, but it's like a cute store. Like, it's mostly for like children, and her mother owned it and passed it on to her. And Kathleen Kelly kind of hates this guy named Joe Fox, who's played by Tom Hanks. And Joe Fox is the owner of Fox Books, which is a chain bookstore. And they have moved in across the street from Kathleen's store. And when they meet in person, and she hates that, you know, he opened the store and putting her out of business. But then they also have met anonymously online, and they don't know the other person. They just have like, you know, like have online names, and they are in a chat room.
Yeah.
And so they kind of like fall in love online and hate each other in real life.
Which is interesting, because I like the fact that online their number one rule was keep any personal business out of it. So they are very like vague about things that they talk about. But it's cute because they ask each other's advice on things that they're going through, and then kind of just tell them how their day went without being too revealingly
who
they are.
It's like adorable, because I guess you wouldn't think they'd be able to talk about a lot without being personal.
Yeah.
But they have like, I forget which, who says it. I think it's Tom Hanks' character. And he just says like, oh, I just like love New York in fall. You know, like I love the smell. And like, I just want to buy a bouquet of sharpened pencils or something. Like, they like talk about things, like they're written pretty well. I think they're both like book people.
Yeah.
So like the way they're writing is kind of like literary to each other. Mm-hmm. And they're writing these like emails that are very just like romantic, but not super romantic. They're like cute.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like personal in the different way.
Right.
Not about like where I work.
Exactly. Type of personal. Yeah. Well, yeah, because there was the one scene where she sorry, we'll get back to that, but where she's like struggling with the situation, mm-hmm. where she's like, oh, some bigger company's trying to take out my company. It's, mm-hmm. and then he's like, oh, well, where do you work? And she's like, oh, no personal details. Remember that? I was like, oh, that's good that they follow their rule. I think the only personal detail was like he says the name of his dog.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think, and at the end, after she gets put out of business, she says that she owned a bookstore. Yeah. But she's like out of business at that point. Yeah. So I would say they're allowed to break the rule.
Yeah.
And I also didn't know this about this film, but it's actually inspired by a play. The play is called Parfumiere, which it's French, I believe. And it was written by Miklos Laszlo. And this actually premiered at a theater. And then Laszlo came to New York. And the play was adapted to be a movie script, which then became a motion picture called The Shop Around the Corner. And that's actually the name of Kathleen Kelly, Meg Ryan's character, in this film. And then in the film, The Shop Around the Corner, that was in the 1940s, it has like James Stewart, Frank Morgan, Margaret Sullivan. And then a few years later, it was refilmed as in Good Old Summertime. And that was like a semi-musical, and Judy Garland was in it. So it was made multiple times.
Yeah, I didn't know
and
that.
And then when Nora Ephron wrote You've Got Mail, she actually based it off, she was like inspired by this play that had really like so many different lives.
Yeah.
You know? And I actually also heard that Miklos's nephew was also making like another version of this in a play.
Oh, wow.
So it's just like a type of story that has had like a lot of different renditions of it, you know, and it's a very popular story.
Mm. It's so cute.
It's so adorable.
It is cute.
I think that's why I really love it is I just enjoy like some of like their sort of like quippy dialogue. Yeah. Like it's very adorable, and you sort of see like them hate each other in real life but then really support each other on the internet.
Yeah.
And like even when they like talk and like argue, it's like it's funny.
Yeah,
you know, and I like their chemistry is really good.
Yeah, it was weird. I liked how and I feel like this can relate to now because the way they communicate when they're online mm-hmm. is so much more efficient than when they're like in person and they really hate each other. They're like, and like stumbling over their words and don't really know what to say. But then online, they're really like cordial, like, oh, I just wanted to say this, or I was upset about this. I really got my feelings hurt, you know?
So
I was like, look at the communication difference there. It's crazy.
Right. It shows a lot about communication.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, even one of the things she says, she's like, when I'm in an argument, I can never think of what I want to say. And, like, writing this all down, like, in email, you know, when she's had more time and she's able to sort of, like, digest the situation, which is her argument with Tom Hanks's character about, like, the bookshops. And also, one of the things, it's been a little while since I've watched this film, so I watched it again, and I was like, oh, Dave Chappelle's in this.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't remember that.
And he did a good job.
He did.
I mean, it's a small part, but I was like, look at Dave.
I know.
And they're looking all, like, he knows what he's doing.
Right, he's owning a business.
Right.
But he was with Tom Hanks. Like, all of his scenes were with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed. He did it really well.
He
did. It held his own. I would definitely agree. And I also, like, another detail about this that I didn't think about when I first watched it was, like, the dial-up of the internet.
Oh, my gosh, AOL.
It was so painful.
It was. That was one of the things that I thought was hilarious because, first of all, it's, like, dial-up internet. So, like, you have to wait. And it makes that annoying, like, screeching fax machine sound. And then it's, like, the icons, it's like like the little mailbox, and then it talks to you all like you've got mail all slow and boring, and then it even like as they're typing it's like so basic and it's like send, like I know most of the things that I have now it doesn't say send, it just like shows a picture of like a little
because we all know now
so the format of it all it just kind of takes you back.
Like the old mouse, like the giant mouse that they use. And like, I think it's also just adorable. Like it's called You've Got Mail because that's the sound when they would open the mailbox and they had mail, which is like, they like looked forward to it because they wanted mail from, you know, this person they were talking to, which is so cute.
An email.
Yeah. Email. Right.
Yeah. And, so funny.
It like, it definitely was like, man, really is old. Like old people talk
mail. It is. Like,
that would never happen now. I never have an email romance with anyone.
No, I'm going to text you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That could be like the remake where you get the text message or...
Yeah,
like,
and then you also get like the Snapchats.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
Like, oh, you followed me on Instagram.
I know, right? That was so funny too, because me and my sister were talking about that as we watched it. And we were talking about like the difference in the time, like how you see the format. And it's like, oh my gosh, look how old it used to be and how we got to see like the transition of like the technology kind of like move farther. But when we were little, like we didn't have that. So it's like interesting to be in that zone where you didn't have email at a point in time. Now you have email, but now you've moved on to like text, personal messages, DM, Snapchat, stuff like that. So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so old.
Right. I lived through this.
Right.
Also, like the really, really old animation at the very beginning of the film.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like through the credits, and it's just like terribly drawn. Like, oh, it's a car. It's really just a box on a line moving, you know, which is terrible.
Oh my gosh, it is so funny. It's funny to see all that now, but
it is. Looking back,
so cute.
It is really adorable. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and keep talking about You've Got Mail, and then move on to Love and Basketball.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are going to continue talking about You've Got Mail. And one of the things that I wanted to mention about this that I just found really adorable, and I didn't, again, this is things that I guess I didn't notice when I watched it earlier in my life, is like when Meg Ryan's character and Tom Hanks's character start talking to each other online, they're in other relationships.
Right.
And one of the things that they kind of like both say to their partner is like, oh, you're supposed to be perfect for me.
Yeah.
Like, you check all the boxes. Like, yeah, you have all of these things. Like, we, like, match well, you know, politically or, like, job-wise and things like that. And then, but, like, the people they're with, they don't really have that chemistry with.
Yeah,
or they get annoyed or they, like, don't like things about that person.
Right.
And then when they're, like, falling for each other, like, they're both different. Mm-hmm. And, like, the things, like, there's one thing she's like, I could never be with someone else, a boat. And he's like, well, I have a boat.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's interesting when you say that, because, like, the people they're with at the time are a lot like them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, you're just like me, and it's getting, like, boring right now. But
yeah,
on the chemistry level, I thought Meg Ryan and I think Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks' chemistry is so cute.
Yes.
Like, in any movie they do, like, I think they were in, like, Joe versus the Volcano.
And Sleepless in Seattle. Sleepless
in Seattle. They're so cute together. They kind of, I don't know, I just love how they're so natural on film.
I agree.
But, yeah, I liked seeing them, like, kind of realize the people they were with in the film. They're like, yeah, I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And then when they find someone who's like, you know, maybe I wouldn't initially think to be with you, you know, but they're like, they just seem so right. Like you were saying, and the chemistry is great. And I also say, I think, like, I really love Tom Hanks, and I think he's really great in this movie, particularly. And just, like, you sort of, like, hate him, but don't. And he feels kind of bad about it, you know. And I just think that's so adorable. And I also love, like, some of the, like, the situational humor.
Yeah.
Of, like, his character with, like, his stepmom or, like, with his dad.
The kids.
The kids.
Too. And, like, oh, no, that's...
Right, like, that's my aunt, and that's my brother. Like, these, like, five-year-olds.
I know. They're so young.
And it's just so adorable. I really enjoy watching it. It's kind of just, like, I don't know, just like a warm blanket.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
It's really comforting. And I think that's how it is with any movie that you really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, comforting to watch again.
Yeah.
And another, like, thing that I also wanted to mention about this film is what I found interesting is, like, in the film, Tom Hanks kind of realizes who his online romance is. He realizes it's, like, Meg Ryan,
who's,
like, his business competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she doesn't know.
Yeah.
But in a way, after that, it's almost like he has to decide, if he's actually going to like fall for her or like let himself. And it's like he like knows that he has this online persona that's still in contact with her.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he has to like sort of put doubt in her heart about the online person to like let her love like the real person who he is.
Get to know him.
Right. And I like didn't think about that watching it earlier, but just like seeing like the way that he tries to figure out how he feels. And then once he knows, he's like, okay, I have to make her love me for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought that was really cute.
Yeah. That's, while still being like the anonymous person.
Right.
Online.
Yeah. Like trying to be two people.
Yeah. And he didn't change that at all, which was crazy to me. He just kind of like, okay, I'm this anonymous person at this time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay being that person, but I want her to fall for me.
Right.
As Joe Fox. You right. know, and who he is.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's so
cute.
Adorable.
It is.
I really love this movie. If you haven't watched it, you definitely should watch it. And if you have watched it, then you should watch it again.
Especially if it's been some time, because after you watch it after a while, it's like, oh, I don't remember that part. Or, oh, I remember that part so much. This is so cute. And then you end up being one of those girls that's like, babe, watch this. Yeah, watch this. So cute.
Or when you have to be like, oh, every September, it's when I watch You Got Mail.
Exactly.
It becomes your annual tradition.
I know, right? Your boyfriend or whoever.
Yeah,
because it's definitely chick flick. It's a chick flick for sure. So you're going to be like, can I just be gone that day? I don't want to keep watching
like,
this
every
year.
That's when I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah, I plan to be doing anything else. Right. But it is so cute.
You should watch it.
I thought it was way cute. I think I watched it one time before, and this was like years ago. So I didn't remember anything about it other than they chatted online.
Right.
That's it. I didn't even remember it was dial-up. I was like, what is going on with it?
What's
like,
that sound?
Yeah. So I just remember, I was just like, this is so cute. I would watch it again.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Also in the film that I didn't mention is Greg Kinnear, who plays Meg Ryan's love interest, her like boyfriend in the beginning. And I would say he is definitely a funny character. And for anyone who watches the show, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, he also comes onto that show because they're like, we need a nice looking like male. And then they just find him. And I'm like, wow, he is just like that. He looks so nice. He is just that character.
Right.
So I just thought that was hilarious. But I really enjoyed it. Again, we definitely suggest that you go watch it. And now we're going to talk about our next film, which is another romance, and this is Love and Basketball, which was so cute. Also, yeah, that's going to be the whole theme of this show.
It
was
just so cute.
It was so adorable.
Of course, we are girls.
I know.
And these are chick flicks,
so
of course we think they're going to be cute.
They're adorable.
Yeah.
And this is from 2000. It is directed by Gina Prince Bythewood. That is her name.
Oh, yeah, that's
cool.
Bythewood.
And also one of the producers was Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And also Gina wrote this as well.
Yeah.
Or co-wrote, I'm not sure. But she also was part of the writing of this film. And as I said, Spike Lee is one of the producers. His production company is one of the production companies that participated in this film. And I also, when I was watching this, I like felt some of like the Spike Lee influence, which I really enjoyed. And I didn't expect from a romance.
Right.
Because I didn't know that he was involved, but I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So this film is about Quincy McCall and Monica Wright. And they are two next-door neighbors in Los Angeles, California, and they pursue their basketball careers and also fall for each other. They start as childhood friends, and it kind of goes all the way through adulthood. And Monica is played by Sanaa Lathan.
She's adorable. I love
and she's
her.
So she does this very well.
Yeah,
very convincing. And Quincy is played by Omar Epps, and they both want to be professional basketball stars. And it kind of just follows their journey, both as athletes and childhood friends, and also their romance as well. And I loved it. I thought they were both really good in the film and very convincing as athletes.
Oh yeah,
I was very surprised. And also, for me, I don't play basketball. I don't follow basketball. So I was suspicious going in. So I'm like, am I going to get this?
Yeah.
Are they just going to start talking about basketball things and I'm going to have no idea and lose interest? But I would definitely not consider myself an athlete. And there are scenes when, like, you're sort of in the head of an athlete.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that because that's something that I don't get to experience.
Right.
And so I loved hearing kind of their thoughts about like during the game and playing and like all of their like breakdown of like this is going on and how to balance different parts of life mm-hmm. along with being an athlete right. as well. I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it was super cute. I really just love the story of how it starts at the beginning in their kids mm-hmm. and they just hate each other. Like, yeah. like Quincy is like, girls can't play ball kind right, of guy. Right. And then she kind of just like shows him up like, no, I'm better than you, yeah. you know? And like her whole dream as a kid, because the WNBA wasn't around, she's like, I'm going to be the first girl in the NBA, man. I'm going to be like Magic Johnson, yeah. be number 32. And she had like this whole plan like set out. She was so cute. And then she was kind of like a tomboyish mm-hmm. kind of girl growing up too. So it's just, I just like how, and she's not afraid to kind of tell him how it is at right. points. You know what I mean? Like some girls are kind of like shy or nervous and she's like, no, I know what I want. This is what I'm doing. You're not going to tell me either way. Like the scene where they're riding to school together mm-hmm. on their bike and he's like, oh, he asked her to be his girlfriend mm-hmm. and she's like, okay, well, what do I have to do? And then they kind of go through a little thing, but then she gets on her bike and starts to ride away and he's like, no, because you're my girl now, you got to ride on my bike. Right. And he's yeah. like, she's like, what?
Right, like I'm going to bike myself.
Yeah. yeah. And so she's very like, you know, no, this is me. I'm going to right. do me. Yeah, like, yeah. she didn't even want to wear the dress yeah, that her yeah. mom picked out for her, which I don't think it was very cute. It was yellow. It was kind of ugly. I was like, why would you put that on?
And also, like, I think it's adorable how they both walk out of the house with basketballs. Yeah. Like, that's just what they have to take to school with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also really loved, like, the passion that they both had for basketball yeah. was so evident, but also particularly, like, her passion. Oh, and yeah. I think, like, you know, like, she is a tomboy in this mm-hmm. film, but she has such a strong desire, and she knows what she wants to do.
Right.
And as you're saying, like, she knows what she wants, and yeah. she's not afraid to say that.
Yeah.
And she's not afraid to pursue, you know, like, mm-hmm. basketball and yeah. making sure that she gets her dream.
Yeah. And to love it as much as she did without having the influence of anybody around her. Like, her dad didn't play basketball, her mom didn't. And then, like, it's different from Quincy because he had the influence. His dad was a basketball in the NBA. And so it was almost like he was trying to live up or be better than his dad, because he was like, I'm gonna be a better basketball player than my dad, I'm gonna do this. And so you can see the difference there. Like, he wanted it just to prove that he was good enough, but she wanted it because she genuinely loved it and wanted mm-hmm. it like that bad. You right. know what I mean? Not saying that Quincy didn't, but it was just a different level.
Right. I agree. And I also, like, with that, like, the way this is being a sports movie, but also romance.
Yeah.
But the, like, the way they did this sports film is it didn't end with, like, you know, the big game.
Yeah.
Or your sports rivalry or yeah. winning a trophy. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved how it just seemed more realistic mm-hmm. of an athlete's journey.
Yeah.
You know, starting from passion as a child.
Yeah.
And going, like, all the way as far as you can.
Exactly.
You know, taking yeah. that as far as it'll go. And it also follows them. They both go to college. They both go to USC and play basketball there. Mm-hmm. And just, like, the ways they deal with their coaches and, like, how you're saying, like, just, like, Quincy and, like, his dad's sort of, like,
yeah.
legend and how that affects him
yeah.
in school versus her, you know, no one knows her name.
Exactly. And she has to kind of make a name for herself. Mm-hmm. And she feels like not just being a girl, but also nobody knowing who she is. It's like she has to work harder, work 10 times harder. And she's kind of trying to show Quincy that, you know, like, no, I do have to work harder
right.
and I will. I'll show everybody. Like, and she kind of, like, there's a scene where she kind of makes him say, like, you know, you can do whatever you want and people will still know who you are and you'll just get away with stuff. But I would get in trouble, or to me, it would be something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that too.
Yeah. And also of mention is, like, the relationship with parents. Like, as we mentioned,
yeah.
like Quincy and his dad, but also just, like, the way the influence of the parents had mm-hmm. on them growing up.
Yeah.
And just, like, there was Quincy's dad and all of the troubles that his dad was going through as well, like, in his own life and in his marriage and having had experience being in the NBA
mm-hmm.
And how that influenced Quincy and how his dad always wanted him to be, you know, a man,
yeah.
be a better man. And then also, like, with Monica, like, with her mom wanted her to be more of, like, like a more feminine woman, yeah, you know, and yeah, wear dresses, ladylike. More ladylike, yeah. And cook. And not just that she wanted that, but I think she just didn't understand her daughter.
Yeah.
And didn't understand her how her daughter was so obsessed with basketball.
Right.
You know, and just the way that living up to what your parents want. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and keep talking about love and basketball.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the film Love and Basketball. And we had just mentioned like the relationship that Monica and Quincy had to their parents. Mm-hmm. And also what I wanted to mention is there's a particular line with Quincy's dad that really got me, because there was like a moment when I was like, this is not just about romance, yeah. You know, like this is also about like parental expectations.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
relationships,
yeah,
with parents.
The one at the beginning.
Yeah. And this was later in the film.
Okay.
This was like more heartbreaking for me when Quincy says to his dad, how come you couldn't be the man you kept trying to make me?
Yeah.
And like that really hit me, because Quincy had been hurt by the actions of his father.
Right.
And just like the expectations that I think they both felt of like their parents wanted them to be one way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Monica and Quincy felt like their parents weren't those people.
Right.
You know, and like the dreams of your parents, mm-hmm, and what they want you to be when they fall short.
Yeah.
You know, and that really hit me as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That line is deep.
And yeah. I really enjoyed that part of the film. Kind of like I was saying, like it taught me about being an athlete, mm-hmm, and it also like was a really good story with parents and expectations. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I like how it showed that even though they cared for each other as much as they did, probably more so Monica at the time, that they didn't let that get in the way of their vision of what they wanted to do with their, mm-hmm, lives at the end of the day. Like even Monica ends up going overseas to play basketball and go after her dreams, mm-hmm, in this and everything. And then Quincy kind of stays in the States, and they just kind of lose contact, you know, but when all the things come back together, it's like the feelings just rush back to where, mm-hmm, they left off. And I mean, for Monica it did, if you watch the movie, but and then they just move on, but they never let it stop them from aspiring to be what they wanted to be.
Right.
And then I just really like seeing the struggles of like the athletes that they had to go through, like with when Quincy ends up, you know, being in like the NBA or whatever, and then he gets hurt, because that's something that obviously is possible. And then even like Monica having to go overseas and do the whole roundabout of it, of, mm-hmm, all this extra work, which she told him about, you, mm-hmm, know, and she's just like, you don't understand, like it's harder for me. And so her having to after go to college, go overseas, mm-hmm, and then come back and then try and figure things out and then get to where she wants to go. And then Quincy's just like, yeah, college, back to where I'm going, is like a straight shot for him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And he even leaves college early to go join the NBA.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I don't think when he joins, I don't think he's a starter.
No. He's like backup almost.
Yeah. But there is also, I have to mention, when he hurts himself, there's like that sound effect of him hurting his leg. And I like heard that sound.
Oh, I can't do
and
it.
And I was like, oh, why? Why did they do that?
Right.
And also, speaking of physicality, watching them work out, I hurt. for watching how much they worked out.
It's
like
it's,
all their training. Yeah. Ugh, it hurt.
One of the things that I really liked about the film is how they split it up. Like, yes. You know how it like, so at the beginning when they're kids, it's like quarter one, just yes. like a basketball game, yeah. you know, and it goes that through that kind of like regimen through the whole movie. And then like when they're in college, it's quarter two mm-hmm. and then another part of their life, quarter three. And then the end is like, I like how they had that set up in a film because I've never seen that.
Yeah,
and,
I loved and that.
Yeah, even to this day, I haven't seen a film do it that something like that at all. So I really liked that.
Yeah, there were definitely some directorial choices that I really appreciated, like the quarter mm-hmm. thing. I just think they did that really well.
Yeah.
Overall, also the training that I like reading about when the actors were preparing for this film, mm-hmm. they had basketball trainers and the director wanted them to be able to play
yeah.
basketball, yeah, you know, right. not in a way that they'd be a professional, but, you know, but, enough that it was convincing.
Right. Going back to when you said that line when Quincy mm-hmm. said to his dad, there was a similar line that Monica ended up saying to her mom in a situation where she was telling her mom how she felt about a certain thing. And she was like, she basically said she was just all like, I can remember playing in so many games and I only remember you being at two.
Right.
And her mom was like, well, you had your dad and your coaches for that. You know, it didn't matter if I was there. And she kind of looks at her mom and she like breaks down crying. She's like, it mattered, mom. Like,
yeah,
you weren't there to support me in what I wanted to do. Like, why would you just... I mean, it's not just about dad being there or coaches,
right.
you know what I mean? And even her sister showed up to more games than her mom did, look right. like, supporting. So I was just like, oh, that hurts so bad because, yeah. you know, you want to be there to support your kid, but mm-hmm. you don't know how it affects them when you're not.
Right. And just like that, her mom didn't support her in the thing, as you were saying, mm-hmm. that Monica wanted.
Yeah.
But in the moment when, like, Monica is all, like, dressing up for prom, yeah. that's when her mom shows the support.
Yeah.
And that's so hard to watch, yeah. you know?
Yeah. Because, you know, the mom wants her to be, like, girly and, like, mm-hmm. that this is all I know, so this is what I can help you do is get dressed right. for prom. And that's, like, one of the things she said. She's right. like, I wanted to be there to... help you get dressed for prom and go on your first date and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But in Monica's world, it's like, but that's not what everything's about. Like, right. I'm about basketball too. I'm not right. just some girl that, you know, has to do girly things.
Right.
So I liked how they depict like the struggles with the family support too.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And it was well done. I would say it was balanced on a lot of levels between romance and athleticism and parental relationships and also talking about other pressures of, you know, balancing all of that when you're trying to go professional in a sport. I just thought it was really well done. They had the great elements of like quarter one, quarter two yeah. to separate. And I just thought that was a really nice attention to detail. So overall, I think we both agree you should definitely see this film.
Yeah. Both the films.
Yes. Go see both films. They're both adorable. We'll say it again. They're both really cute.
Super cute.
Super cute. we suggest them. And thank you so much for listening to this movie podcast about romance.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.